Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
As I continue my series of the Battle of Gog, I want to say to every one of you how much I appreciate you listening to this radio broadcast. Hope you are staying healthy and well. This past year has been very turbulent and troublesome, with this corrupt and fraudulent administration forcing COVID vaccinations upon adults and now children. Also, this administration and radical socialistic Democratic Party has been forcing critical race theory, CRT, also known as SEL, social emotional learning, into our public school systems, which is a complete abomination. Hyperinflation has been horrendous since this senile and demonic president has taken office. The constant threat of shortages of all sorts is constantly looming over us. Also, the constant flood of illegal immigrants coming over our borders and the rapid rise of violence on our streets is another sign the Antichrist party is in control. This may not be the Antichrist, but the Apostle John warned us that there are many Antichrists already in the world. This Antichrist spirit that exists in Washington, D.C. today is the atheistic Communist Party. Biden and most of the Democratic politicians and some Republicans have sold their soul to the devil. The communists will be the impetus for this battle of Gog found in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. As this dispensation winds down, these are significant events that are prophesied to befall the earth. Again, the title of today's message is The Battle of Gog. This will be a real-life event that Ezekiel prophesied many millenniums earlier. Discovering the details of this future event is paramount to understanding and differentiating the many future events that are still to unfold as our Lord's second coming is nigh. There is also in Scripture the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, which we find in Revelation chapter 16. Is this the same battle as the Battle of Gog that Ezekiel prophesied, or is it different? What are the similarities and what are the differences? That will be my objective in this series, to disclose the subtleties of these prophecies. We will also look at the Psalm 83 war and the war prophesied at the end of the Messianic Kingdom age, also labeled Gog and Magog. So please listen intently as I continue to untangle these prophecies. And remember, Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Battle of Gog, part 11. So the earth here in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. God just rolls up the old heaven and the earth. He just rolls it up and then creates a new heaven and a new earth upon which the new Jerusalem shall come upon that earth. And again, the twofoldness of divine truth. Let me point out here again. Here commentators make the same problem, same issue here in Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation 19. This emphasizes my point, my position, that go to Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts coming, saying, come and see. Verse 2, this is one of the four horsemen that are spoken of in Revelation 6. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Keep your hand there. Flip back to 19. Who else do we know that sits on a white horse? Verse 11 in Revelation 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were how many crowns? Many crowns. How many crowns on the other man on the white horse? But you're going to find commentaries, you're going to find preachers who combine those. Oh, that must be Jesus in Revelation 6. No, that's the Antichrist in Revelation 6. That's the Antichrist in Revelation 6, sitting on a white horse with his bow. Notice he doesn't have any arrows. Conquering and to conquer. But they say, well, there's two men sitting on a white horse. They must be the same thing. No. The twofoldness of divine truth. You have two natures. You have a spiritual nature, and you have a physical nature. Christ had an earthly body, and he had a heavenly body. So you have to separate these things out. So going back to 2 Peter, this event, because we're being warned in this dispensation, this is not addressing the kingdom age, the folks in the kingdom age, this is addressing you and I in this dispensation, the church age, in 2 Peter chapter 3. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's a renewed earth and a renewed heaven. Just like God renewed the earth during the time of Noah. Was the earth renewed during the time of Noah? He wiped out the former generations of people that were living there. I mean, he totally wiped it out. You pump gasoline into your car from that dispensation. All the vegetation that was destroyed by the flood made the oil and the natural gases in the earth that we use for our energy uses every day. And what he's going to do here, this is speaking of, he's going to burn the earth. So when does that take place? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So Peter is endorsing Paul's writings. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. So when does this fiery judgment take place? When does this fiery judgment take place? Now you have learned in your notes, where you go to your notes, page 5. We've talked about Gog's defeat compared to Antichrist's defeat. If you remember, the defeat of Gog is much different than the defeat of Armageddon. I basically tell you, you see it in Ezekiel 39, that Gog and all the nations that, and we went through all the different nations that are going to rise up with Gog to come against Israel, come against Jerusalem, and they're going to die of natural causes. They're going to die of, God's going to pour out fire and brimstone upon them, possibly volcanic activity. What have we just witnessed on, was it the Canary Islands at in Spain, with the eruption of the volcano and destroyed thousands of homes, hundreds or thousands of homes? And these volcanoes can erupt quickly. It could be a volcanic reaction. Natural disasters are going to be flooding, an earthquake. There's going to be plagues and pestilence, hailstones, brimstones. Then you see that also even the armies turn on one another. And we have incident after incident in the scriptures of the armies turning on one another. God puts it in their heart that they get fearful and they get suspect of their own soldiers and other nations that with them, and they turn the sword on one another and they slay themselves. And then I talked about, and I said about how Israel will spend 7 years cleaning up the spoils of that mess. My Bible, I use a Scofield Study Bible. If you go to the notes under Ezekiel 38 and 39, Scofield is wrong. Scofield says that the battle of Gog and Magog are synonymous with the battle of Armageddon. And that's absolutely false. That's a false teaching. Because you look, just compare the Israelites spending all this time cleaning up the spoils, and the Battle of Armageddon, two-thirds of the Israelites are killed, and one-third fled to the Red Rock city of Petra. And God says, calls all the fowl of heavens to come down and feast upon all the spoils of war and all the dead bodies and horses. And there's two suppers, twofoldness of divine truth, two suppers in Revelation 19. First part of Revelation talks about the great supper of the Lamb and calling the saints and putting them white robes upon them and calling them to the great supper of the Lamb. And then this latter part of Revelation 19 talks about the supper for the fowl of the air on the spoils of the Battle of Armageddon. And so that is that's a big part of what is the difference in those two battles. And so the gist of that message and that part of this message is to point out that there's a big time lapse before the final 7-year tribulation and the rapture. And I pointed out that we can take this whole rapture and our salvation and the promised land and put the whole prophecy and overlay it over the Israelites coming out of Egypt, the Passover. The rapture is a picture of the last trump, when the Israelites are drawn to Mount Sinai and Moses goes to the top of Mount Sinai, and then the Israelites going into the promised land. But there was a 40-year period of time. There was a 40-year gap. And that points out that there has to be a 40-year gap between the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of Gog and Magog, and the Battle of Armageddon. Does that make sense? Plus, somewhere in there has to fit the Psalm of 83 war, where I told you last time that it most likely will be the total annihilation of the Muslim religion. And all those nations that are around Israel are not mentioned in the Battle of Gog and Magog. How come? Because they've been wiped out possibly before Gog comes. And I tell you, Gog is Russia. And Russia's eye is on Israel. And their desire to be close to have a Mediterranean seaport. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 is in your notes at the bottom of page 5. I don't have the passage all written out for you because we want to look at a good portion of Zechariah. But you see here the Battle of Armageddon. You don't see here the Battle of Gog and Magog. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, whenever you see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that day is referring to the second coming of Christ. That day will be, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Verse 4, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment. As we mentioned last time, that these men are going to be riding on cavalry. They're going to be on horses. What happened to the tanks and the personnel armored carriers and all that military equipment that we have? And they're going to be riding horses? Riding horses? All this technology, does our armies ride horses? When we had desert storm, and you know, we came from the southern part of Iraq and stormed the cities of Iraq. Was everybody on a horse? No, they were on troop carriers and military troop carriers or tanks. That boggles my mind. What happens to all the military equipment? And every rider was astonished, his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like the hearth of the fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left hand. On the left, Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the houses of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth. They're going to realize the Jesus who just came back to rescue Jerusalem was the Jesus they crucified 2,000 years ago. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him, and one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as a mourning of Hadad-Dimaran, and the valley of Megiddon. Megiddon, the valley of Megiddon is the same place as Armageddon. They're synonymous, Megiddo. There, you look up Megiddo today in the valley of Megiddo. That's up by Mount Carmel. That's where the armies of the earth, the nations of the earth, are gonna first assemble. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of the Levites apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. And then you get into, look at 14, jump over to chapter 14. We see in 13, at the end of 13, we see the third part of the Israelites dying and being destroyed. Chapter 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the battle, in the day of battle. And that's that speaks of Revelation 19, where he's on the white horse. So there's a difference between the battle of Gog and Magog and the battle of Armageddon. And then there's a separate battle, the battle of the Psalm 83 war. We see in Isaiah here in your notes at the bottom of page 5, it says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. We looked in Revelation 14 last time I preached and talked about the blood of the battle of Armageddon is going to be so much blood, it'll be up to the bridle of a horse and stretch for 176 miles. 176 miles. Look at it in Revelation there. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 14. We looked at it and we'll just look at it again. But this is called the Grapes of Wrath. Not giant John Steinbeck's classic American novel from 1939, but this is the true Grapes of Wrath that is spoken of in the Scriptures. And it says in verse 19, Revelation 14, "And the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlong." A furlong, according to my Bible, is 582 feet. One furlong, 582 feet. So you multiply that by 1,600 and I get approximately 176 miles.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels.